Welcome to the Arlene Pelicane Podcast. When was the last time you couldn't find your keys or a needed piece of paper? Have you ever thought, I am just losing my mind? Well, take heart. Organizing pro Marsha Ramslin talks with me today about what to toss, what to keep, and how to tell the difference. What an honor to have my friend Marsha Ramslin on the podcast today. There are many times that I go through my day, whether I'm at my desk or I'm trying to find a piece of paper or I've gotten something in the mail and I don't know what to do with it, and I think, what would Marsha do? So Marsha is an organizing pro, and the thing I love about Marsha is she makes you feel like, I can do this. I can do this. This is something I can do. So you are going to be encouraged today. While I was working on this podcast, I honestly looked at my file cabinet and I just started cleaning out clutter, just simply thinking about Marsha made me do this. So I have a feeling you also will be inspired to do something about organizing your home. Plus, you will get the tools that you need from Marsha. She is the author of Simplify Your Life, which is a fantastic book. Here's Marsha now to talk about developing a system in your home to keep you sane. Plus, Marsha will share some tips on staying young and useful at any age. So, Marsha, let's say a woman is thinking, okay, I feel like I'm losing my mind. I'm in my 40s, my 50s, my 60s, my 70s. I can't find things. Why is it especially important for women as we get older to be organized?
I think it's really important to know you're not losing your mind. Your system is broken. It's not a character flaw. It's not an age issue. It just means you're handling more things, and you need to create systems to deal with the changes in your life. So typically, as we go on in life, we've achieved something in our 20s, and we take that skill forward and all the extra things that go along with that skill, which are probably paper files if yes. You're a teacher, or writing things if you're a writer, or if you organize organizations, you have notebooks of them, and all of that stuff moves forward with you, and you have to learn how to let go. So it's not just organizing what you have, but it's stepping up a level and saying, okay, I'm going to simplify my life and say, that was a part of my past. I'm comfortable in letting it go. Here's an example. I just went through my files, and having been a teacher for 24 years on the topic of organizing, I actually gave them out to my son, who scanned them, and he handed back 4 inches of papers in 20 minutes on a flash drive.
How funny.
And my goodness, I've been doing that since the beginning of the year. I've gotten rid of 66 pounds of paper from my files, and they're electronically on my flash drive and on my computer, and you can back them up. And believe it or not, you just have to think ahead and say, you know, in 10 or 15 years, these papers are going to be yellowed, and if I don't scan them now or continue to toss the papers and just keep the electronic file, I'm going to have a lot of clutter and dust sitting around me, and there's nothing more depressing as you age in having clutter around you and not have the freedom to move forward. A second reason is to think about the freedom that letting go gives you of too much stuff. Too much stuff, too much to do, too many responsibilities. So we really want to let go of that. And then the next reason to do it is we want to look forward rather than backward, with hope that the best times in your life are coming ahead. So if we are hanging on to trophies and books and an old library, we're going to feel like, oh, that was so meaningful. That's what I'm all about, and I have to keep those classics. Well, a few of them are classics, but actually you have to call down the library and all your favorites of everything and just keep what are the key items that will give you enough memories to move forward with freedom.
Is there any tip you can give to help a lady discern, okay, this is worth keeping or this is not worth keeping? Because you know so many hold an item and think, oh, I can't quite let go of this, but, oh, I don't really need it. And, you know, how is there something that a woman can do to kind of help her discern?
Yes, you want to take the whole collection together. So if you're going through, say, your jewelry drawer, mm-hmm. and you're looking at the top of your dresser and it's a mess with jewelry and the drawer itself is full and all your jewelry boxes are full, say, what would I really like it to be so I can get dressed quickly in the day, and how much am I willing to store? So you might have your everyday things and look at this really neat jewelry box and say, I want my stuff that I wear every day to be in here, and then I want to have no more than a shoebox full of little boxes of things that I'm storing, and then the rest goes out. So that way you're taking the whole collection and saying how much is enough, instead of taking each item and saying, oh, but I have attachment. Another good way is to take pictures of the whole collection and look at it through a picture and through your camera's eyes, and you go, oh my goodness, that's too much. We did that with our first child when she was born. We put all the toys outside around her. Actually, my husband did it, and took a picture. And I looked at that picture, and I go, oh my goodness, we have tons of stuff. And that was helpful in seeing the whole collection and saying, let's narrow it down. And, of course, you know my tip. You want to say, do I use it? If not, I'm going to lose it. So the use it or lose it tip is a really good one at that point. One other tip. When we were moving last year, I counted all the books in my library. Not many people do that, but I couldn't decide which favorites to get rid of. We counted 450 books, and at that point I said, at 60 cents a pound in moving them, I need to cut this in half. So I literally counted until I got down to the number that was half of that, 220. And at that point, it was a goal achieved instead of a great loss in my life.
Yeah.
I felt, wow, I've achieved a goal, and I have blessed 220 other people with books that probably needed to be circulated, and the library is much happier at this point, too.
Yes. So you can imagine if a woman really pares down her clutter and gets more control of her stuff, it's going to be a lot easier to manage her household and to find what she needs to find.
Yes. And you really want to make sure that you do this because women and mothers in particular are models that their kids follow in their organizing habits. And it's not particularly how you do a single drawer, but it's the comfort level you have with the amount of clutter or order in your household. If kids grow up and mom was always on the run with a time schedule and everything was chaotic and let's hurry and rush, and beds were unmade and clutter in the family room and clutter in the kitchen, I guarantee every child that you raise will feel comfortable with that, and that's how they're going to carry on in their household. I also tell parents that if you want to help your child do better in school, give them an organized home, not just an organized room that the child lives in, but actually the home is organized. And I guarantee as a school teacher, kids that come from an organized household where the dishes are put away at night, the laundry is done, they can find their paperwork and it goes regularly back every day to school, they do almost a whole letter grade better than those that come from a chaotic household.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because order helps you think orderly, helps you achieve more, and you have a space and a place to do more things in your life.
So let's say we think, okay, that's great. I want to do that. How do I get started? Now I'm overwhelmed. I'm already busy, and I'm supposed to start organizing now. What's one, like a first step to take?
I really like to start with I'm going to give you two choices.
Yeah.
The first place is a room in your house, and I would always say that's the kitchen because it's connected with the family room. If you can do those two spaces, work on it every single day of putting away after each meal in the kitchen, make sure in 10 minutes you have managed to learn to clean up the kitchen, you will be able to go on and do paper piles and garages and photos.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't manage the kitchen, I doubt that you're going to feel successful at other areas because that's the first level, just
yes.
getting everything put away there.
Yeah.
The second choice is to begin what's frustrating you. So if it's getting out the door in the morning, you might want to say, it's my closet. I can't find shoes. I can't find an outfit. Spend the time to get rid of the excess, put together outfits, and that way that's your frustrating point, and so start there.
Yeah.
So decide, am I going to start with what's frustrating? And as we mentioned, it could be the closet, could be papers on your desk. Start there. And the other choice is at the same time be working on the habit of organizing your kitchen and family room where we spend 70% of the time that we're home. So that's a great place to start. I think it's important to get organized because it means your life is focused. The difference of being organized is you've chosen your focus. If you're unorganized, you work twice as hard, if not four times as hard, to accomplish less. And who wants to work four times as hard to accomplish way less than if you got organized?
Yeah.
A personal story, when I had three children of my own under 6 years old, I was just so frustrated. There were mail piles, laundry piles, kitchen dishes, everything all over the kitchen. All four of us were there, the three little kids and myself. And I just kind of had reached my limit, and I exploded. Someone's going to get organized. And they all looked up at me, and I thought, oh, by the ages of everyone in the room, I guess that would be me. And so I determined I would not live like this anymore. And as I conquered one system at a time, first it was the dinner dishes. I mean, it probably took me till after 10 o'clock at night with these little kids to get through dinner dishes. Yeah. And that was just so draining. Well, I've now mastered it and worked at it, so it takes 10 minutes. Then I went on to the next one, and which was the laundry. And now my laundry is done before the next meal even, so it's all put away and the laundry's washer and dryer clean. And then was able to move on to paperwork. And now I do professional offices in First National Bank and the U.S. Navy. And so by building on your skill level, you get to that point where things become systems and habits. You don't even think twice. You don't even have that mental argument, should I make my bed or not? You just know my life works best when I make my bed. And you just do what makes your life work best. Now, the big revelation to me was no one told me it was easier to live organized than disorganized. And when that hit me one day, I thought, that's not even fair. Those organized people never told me this.
Yeah.
And so it was a revelation. I thought, if I want my life to be easy, I'm going to have to work at these habits that are slowing me down. And, you know, anyone out there can make those changes. And I tell you, there is not just a light at the end of the tunnel and getting organized. There's sunshine and landscapes out there and new vistas when you reach that point where you can look around and say, wow, I've made it, and I know how to continue to make changes in my life. It makes life wonderful and smooth sailing.
So motivational. I think, okay, someone's got to get organized. It's got to be me. I'm going to do it. I've got the book, Simplify Your Life. I can do this.
Exactly.
Yes. Tell me about that 10-minute kitchen cleanup. What did you make changes of to make it so fast?
The first thing I did was to turn on a radio station.
Yes.
And I Focus on the Family with James Dobson was on. And when he started at 7 o'clock, my goal was to be finished by 7:30.
Yeah.
And, you know, it felt like I had company in the kitchen. You know, somebody was talking to me and inspiring me. And that way I thought, oh, you know, if I have everybody help clear the dishes from the table to the kitchen, and, oh, if we put all the dishes on this side, and, oh, if, you know, my husband puts away the food in the refrigerator, mm-hmm. or everyone puts it on one side. And so gradually you say, how can I make this easier?
Yeah.
And as you keep asking that question, you're able to solve it, because the mind loves to solve problems. If you don't give it any challenges, it won't solve it. But if you do, it will solve it for you, and you'll see ways to do it easier.
That's excellent. Yeah, a lot of us just say, oh, it can't be done, and our mind just shuts down and nothing happens.
Right.
But if we were to say, how can I do this better? It's like our mind can think up those things. That's excellent.
Yes.
So, Marcia, this is like gold. This is wonderful.
Oh, good.
When you get older and your children are grown, you know, many women, you know, you struggle with, okay, what am I supposed to do now? Mm-hmm. And Lord, what do you have for this next phase of life for me? And could it possibly be as exciting as the phase you just brought me through, you know, in raising children, et cetera?
When my youngest child graduated from college, all three of us were then on their own, and I anticipated that this was coming. I thought, wow, I've kind of achieved all my life goals. One was to have one book published and written by the time, you know, it was a life goal, mm-hmm. by the time I died. I guess that was it.
Yes.
And I had already achieved that. The kids were graduating for college, and I thought, what should I do with my life? And mm-hmm. I knew that if I had plans, it would be limited, mm-hmm. but I gave it to the Lord, and I said, you have been so faithful to me in raising these children. It basically took 28 years of my life till the last one graduated from college. I said, Lord, I can't picture giving you from my mid-50s till 85. I mean, that's 30 years, and I can't even picture how to make a 30-year plan.
Yeah.
75? No, that's still another 25-year plan. And so I broke it down, and I said, okay, until I reach my next zero birthday, which would happen to be 60, yeah. I said, these next 6 years are yours. My strength is speaking and writing. I'm going to give it to you. I'll go and speak wherever you want. And so, you know, didn't quite think much more beyond that, but the next thing I knew, my husband had a job change, and we moved from San Diego to Dallas. And I was thinking about it, and I thought, why are we moving to Dallas? And then that prayer crossed my mind. Hmm. You promised wherever I would send you to speak and write. And so I'm like, okay, I better get with the program. So we went, found this beautiful house, nothing to do in once we moved in. It was a custom house, so perfect for us. Moved in, and I said, well, God must have something for us to be up and running. And so at that point, I gave that to him. We started, and Women in Christian Media was there, and the Lifestyle Conference, and there was a church of 200 staff, and I organized the whole staff. Mm-hmm. I wrote Simplify Your Holidays, and in 14 months, God said, you're moving back, and we moved back to San Diego. And I thought, wow, what was that all about? How many people just move for 14 months to another part of the country and then move back to another house? But when I came back, I had two ministries to launch. Then we did the marketing for the book that came out that year. And now I'm at that point again. I'm saying, Lord, what do you have? But could you give me a little bit of a rest here? And so I'm organizing my office, streamlining it, getting rid of everything I've done in the past so that I'm ready for the next phase. And yeah. I think whenever, that's an important principle, whenever you're in a lull in life, yes. say, what do I need to do to get ready? So if someone called up and said, I want you to write a book, you're going to be on Oprah, I want you to right. take this 6 months sabbatical, you would say, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Because you have prepared in that in-between time in life. And that's what it's all about, is following the Lord every day and saying, here's my life, what's next? It's the feast or famine principle. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a famine, say, this must be the preparation time to prepare internally and my surroundings so that when the feast comes, I am so ready to go in that feast of activities and all the next part phase of life.
Yes. Yeah. So the last question I have is just, you are obviously very hopeful about the future because you talked about, you know, not holding on to the things of the past and just relishing those, you know, instead of really looking ahead. What advice would you give to the woman who just feels like, I'm not really that hopeful about the future?
A principle that I have in my book, Simplify Your Life, is learn to manage your current situation with ease. If you are not managing right now well, it's probably bogging you down. But if you are managing well and you still feel like you don't have a hope and a purpose, I would say change your time schedule and put new things into your life. Mm-hmm. So you want to find something that you're passionate about, maybe drop and look for two new activities that feed into that passion.
Yeah.
I think so often we feel like, oh, I should be, you know, passing tracks out on the corner, or mm-hmm. I should be witnessing to my neighbors, and so you have this guilt on you. But instead, say, you know, I'm really passionate about weightlifting at this point in life. I know mm-hmm. a lady in her 50s that does that, and her muscles are growing. She's not going to have osteoporosis. Someone else is saying, oh, I wanted to hike, and I wanted to climb mountains. It doesn't matter. God just mm-hmm. wants you to get moving.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a rudder on a ship. If you're moving, he can direct you.
Yes.
If you're not moving, he can't connect you with people because you are just stuck. So.
Yeah.
Change the schedule, change it up, find something exciting, and out of those passionate seeds, you will find something new to do.
Excellent. Anything else that you want to add?
I love being a woman, and I think women have so many opportunities for different sort of phases. I wouldn't call them careers, but different phases in life, and each September is a good time to say, do I want to be doing the same thing as last year? And say, nope, let's lop this activity off and add a new one on that will keep you fresh
yeah.
all the time. And if you can't find freshness for yourself, then look at younger people around you and start to go hiking with them
yeah.
or jogging or in an activity with them and pour into the people behind you coming up, and your energy will be revitalized
yes.
by working with them.
Well, I love what Marcia says about September. You know, typically you think about January as the time to set goals and to think, you know, am I headed the direction that I want to be headed? But I love the idea of September. It's the change of a calendar year if you're a student. And a lot of times, whether you're a parent or a grandparent, September comes and it's fall, the summer has ended, and now you're kind of, your nose is back to the grindstone, you're looking at the holidays a few months away, etc. September is a wonderful time to reevaluate your schedule and to do what Marcia said to do and to ask yourself, am I happy with how this is going? Or do I need a fresh start in one of these areas? Is there something I need to quit? Is there something that I need to change in this next year? And instead of feeling helpless, like I'm stuck in this routine or the schedule that I don't like, instead think, what can I do different that a year from now, next September, I'm going to be in a different place because I made a decision today? Wow, that is exciting stuff. Well, if you want to read more about Marcia, she is featured in day 13 and day 16 of my book. Those, the chapter titles are Where Are My Keys and What's Next? And Marcia will help you in both of those areas. You can visit my website, arlenepellicane.com, for the blog and more information about the book. We are back to podcasting, so you will be hearing from me twice a month, and I'll be bringing you more interviews to keep you inspired to stay younger and feel younger. And remember, the best is yet to come.